Welcome to Parenting Matters on Nashville Catholic Radio, WBOU 100.5 FM, sponsored by the Family Life Office of the Diocese of Nashville and Stephanie Wilwaco. Your host for the program is Dr. Parr Donahue. Dr. Parr has years of experience in pediatrics and parenting. He was named the Senior Pediatrician of the Year by the Tennessee Chapter of the American Academy of Pediatrics in 2014. Dr. Parr is the author of four books, including books on parenting, entitled Messengers in Denim, The Amazing Things Parents Can Learn from Teens, and Tools for Effective Parenting. Visit Dr. Parr's blog at www.parentingwithdrparr.com. Here's your host, Dr. Parr Donahue.
Welcome to Parenting Matters on WBOU-FM 100.5 on your dial and streaming throughout the world on WBOU.org. Our topic today, Your Child and Nutrition, Part 2. Our guest expert is nutritionist Carrie Lou Robertson. Carrie Lou is a gifted speaker and an excellent educator and a longtime friend. A great big welcome to you, Carrie Lou, and to you, our listeners. Now my monologue. When I was working in the uninsured and underinsured clinic, I saw a 5-year-old girl, Tina, who weighed 210 pounds. You heard that right. 5 years old and 210 pounds. She was barely 5 years old. Her mother, her grandmother, and her great-grandmother, who brought her in, were also obese, and they all three had type 2 diabetes, including this kindergartner. I had seen her 2 weeks earlier, diagnosed her diabetes, and recommended a general diet plan for her and her entire family. Great mother reminded me that they had been taking her to the, in her words, the fat clinic at Vanderbilt. And that seemed to be the right decision for me. However, it wasn't working. And to make matters worse, she had gained 4 pounds during the last 2 weeks. Grandma explained that the night before coming in was Auntie's birthday. So after they had dinner, they went to McDonald's for some sweet tea. When the tea came, they were surprised to see that each serving was approximately a big gallon, Grandma said. Most likely it was 32 ounces, but she said it was a gallon. In any event, Grandma and Auntie did not want that much, so they each ordered a smaller drink, and Tina drank all three of the other drinks. And the Grandma laughed. I don't know how she could drink 3 gallons of tea, but she did. Well, at that rate, a 32-ounce serving of McDonald's has about 600 calories. In the old days, they've since modified that down to 180. But if you drink three gallons of it, or 32 ounces, it would be 1,800 calories, which is about all a girl of 5 years old needs to maintain her health. I decided her dietary needs were above my pay grade to fix, so we referred her to the local dietitian. Tina never returned to the clinic. We tried to contact her, but to no avail. The phone line had been disconnected. So I don't know if anyone ever helped her lose the weight. Unfortunately, I had not met our guest, Carrie Lou, at that time. If anyone could help Tina, it would be Carrie Lou. But today, I have the privilege of introducing her to you once again. Carrie Lou has a bachelor's degree in food and nutrition science from Utah State University and a master's in business from the University of Wisconsin at Parkside. She's been in the nutrition field for over 30 years, working as a registered and licensed clinical dietitian, and is currently self-employed as a nutrition consultant in sports medicine and corporate wellness. But most important of all, she is originally from Wisconsin, and like all of us, she is always a Packer fan. Welcome, Carrie Lou, to WBOU 100.5 on your dial, and streaming throughout the world on WBOU.org.
Well, thank you, Dr. Parr, for having me here again. And again, I enjoy working with you always. And yes, how about those Packers this year?
Oh, I don't know. It's scary. But I think they're going to do well.
I think so, too.
They sure could beat the Titans. Man, I'm so sick of the Titans. I just pray for them every day, and I go to the game, and I watch them on TV, and I think they're going to win this one.
Then yes.
They blow it in the last minute.
Well, not this year. Not this year.
Well, I did it last week.
I know.
Okay, going back to our subject.
Yes.
Do you think it's possible to help a family like that?
Absolutely. But I think the first thing you do is you don't focus on food. They have no idea how to handle food. But they would be interested in knowing how to function in a daily way of getting up in the morning, taking care of yourself, and focusing on the things that will help her grow to be healthy, like exercise.
Mm-hmm. Just use the exercise. I saw a girl like her 50, 40 years ago, well, not quite this big, but she was a huge girl, And so were her mom, so was her dad, and so were her sisters. And so we talked a bit, and I said, well, what you need to do is you really don't even need to eat less because you're still growing. So what you need to do is exercise. So why don't you start doing some exercises and then work on them for a couple months and come back and see me. So she came back, and of course she had gained weight. And I said, are you exercising? Oh, yes. She said, I exercise all the time. I said, what are you doing? Well, I'm doing hand flutters.
Oh,
I said, what are hand flutters? Well, you hang your hands outside like this and just shake them back and forth. I said, well, that's not going to do it.
Well, little things like making sure that the child walks with you instead of trying to carry them, put them in a cart. Example is parking the farthest away you can at the grocery store. So you have to walk into the grocery store, taking the steps instead of the elevator. Just simple daily things that this young girl can do physically. Going outside for walks, as simple as that, around the block, you know, a few times.
Sure.
And then slowly integrating also into a regiment where the kitchen sometimes is closed. No food zones. There should be no food in bedrooms. The food is at the kitchen table, and it's used as fellowship and fuel.
That's so important. And they remember, they have to remember that food, like sweet tea and sweet beverages, are not really food. They're just empty calories.
Absolutely. There's no nutrition in them, and it actually makes the child even hungrier because you get that spike in that blood sugar. That drops. There's no nutrients there, no proteins or fats. And so they're hungry. They're actually really hungry.
Well, do you think that obesity is biologically inherited, or that it's just eating habits that are learned?
Well, it's interesting. When we look at couples, if two parents are obese, the likelihood of that child to be obese is about 75%. But is that genetic or environmental? If one parent's obese and the other one is not, maybe a 50% chance. If both parents are fit, only 25% chance. So there might be some genetic component, but I do believe you have to start young. You have to start early intervening versus when the child is five. Not that there's no hope. It's just we need to educate earlier.
Well, this it reminds me of the little brother that was born to that family that I taught you about with the girl practice 40 years ago. And mother was pregnant, and so we talked about eating during the pregnancy and keeping her food down and getting some exercise. And I'm doing all that. So she had a big baby at birth. I don't remember the exact weight. Looked like a diabetic baby, but it wasn't, but it looked like that. And I said, okay, now all we're going to do is nurse this baby for the first 6 months, nothing else. Sure, we want. So it came back in. The kid had gained like 100 pounds. I mean, or not really, but a lot
understand.
Of weight.
Understand, yes.
And she said, I said, well, how are you gaining so much weight? Well, she said, he gets so hungry. You know, he just sucks his hands all the time, and he's crying. So I just feed him because he has to have something. What are you giving him? Oh, I give him cereal, and I give him fruit, and I give him all these baby foods. He eats like 3 baby food jars a day, plus, you know, my nursing, and then I supplement him too because I'm not making a lot of milk.
Okay, wow.
I said, wow, you need to go get some education.
Right,
but
it's
in education, isn't it, Carolyn?
Absolutely, and that pediatrician should maybe be seeing that child once a week. So our healthcare system for wellness, you know, would be very helpful to be able to see that child and not financially go, you know, into bankrupt.
Disrupt them, yes.
Right.
Yeah.
But that pediatrician having that accountability there would be very helpful.
And of course, they need to see the parents, too.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, there are many weight loss diets, and we're going to talk just a little bit about them. There's vegan, vegetarian, keto, Atkinson, grapefruit, low carb, who knows? It's just 30-something, I don't know what it is. 30 days or nothing, I think.
Well, and if you think one would work, there'd only be one.
That's what I keep telling people. What's a parent to do when kids want to eat these strange diets?
Well, it's interesting. I have 4 children myself, the youngest now 19, the oldest 20. 29. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my.
And so I've seen a lot of that, especially in middle school and high school years. Girls tend to decide, oh, I'm going to try the vegan diet. It's posh right now. It's something everybody's doing. And what a parent can do is basically educate herself or the father on what those diets are, because you can eat a vegan diet very healthy, mm-hmm. but you have to be more careful about making sure you get protein, vitamins, minerals. There's other things you need to add to it, and obviously go see a dietitian to help you with that. Mm-hmm. But don't be afraid when your child does come for you for guidance in these things. Don't be afraid. Look it up. Talk to your pediatrician. Talk to a dietitian. But understand that food is just that. It should be a fellowship. It shouldn't be something you restrict totally. Mm-hmm. It isn't something that should be used as punishment or a reward. Mm-hmm. It's something to fuel the body. So when a child goes on, say, a vegan diet, and you notice, and they notice they're not having as much energy, that's a good education point. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. After 3 days on the vegan diet, you can't focus as well on your homework and your sports. You're dragging a little bit, mm-hmm. you know. So it's looking at those things, too.
Well, I always say that's not a vegetarian diet because they don't eat vegetables. They just eat mac and cheese.
Exactly.
Except vegans don't even eat the cheese.
Right. It's more grains, which, again, we could have a whole other subject on that.
Yes, yes. Now, how do you know if a parent's, I mean, how does a parent know if her daughter or son is damaging themselves by not eating? What are the signs?
Well, there's three different disorders that we look at. One is anorexia nervosa, which means they're restricting calories. Mm-hmm. Another one is bulimia, mm-hmm. which means they're binging and then mm-hmm. purging it. Mm-hmm. And another one that has just come up is orthorexia, which means they're only wanting to eat pure, mm-hmm. only organic. Everything has to be specific. And so those are the three disorders. Now let's look at what are some symptoms. If you see that your child is regularly looking in the mirror at themselves now, especially in adolescence, if you see that the child is now wearing bulkier clothes all the time, if they try to avoid dinner time or when they're at dinner, they're just pushing their food away all the time, if they're keeping a food diary and calories and doing it every day for at least 3 months, mm-hmm. you know, and being very restrictive. If they have trouble sleeping, is their hair becoming more brittle? Those are things that you can look at. Is their lunchbox coming back empty? Or is it being, you know, brought back with all the food still in it? It's just being more observant of what your child is doing.
Being there.
Yes.
Just being
you
there.
You have to be there.
Yeah, just mm-hmm. be there. Now, tell us more about this orthorexia.
Well, what's interesting, as we've learned more about nutrition and organic foods and foods that are better for our health, some parents have gone very restrictive in what they'll allow their children to eat at a very young age, which can cause a child then to be afraid of food. So they're at a birthday party. It doesn't happen all the time, but they're at a birthday party, and there's soda and there's cake, and the child will not eat. And they won't even try anything. You're at a restaurant, and the child's only used to eating at home a certain basic diet, so they're not introducing new foods. They get more of a pure sense of things that they can eat that, I guess what I'm trying to describe is that they feel like they're going to be unhealthy by not eating anything. So,
you know, I was at a pediatric meeting two weeks ago, and there was a lady sitting beside me who was quite a bit overweight, and she pulled out a muffin in her bag, and she was eating the muffin. All the time, just sat there constantly shoving food into her mouth. Then she got done with that, and she pulled out a Hershey bar, and she started nibbling on that. Mm-hmm. She ate that. But I didn't think she wondered where she was fat. She knew why she was. But it's the idea that you should eat in the kitchen. You should eat at mealtimes. You shouldn't eat when you're watching TV, or you shouldn't watch TV while you're eating.
Exactly.
And all those things are so easy to put into, I think, easy to put into action. I'm not sure.
Yes, it is. And again, it starts out really young. It's, you know, the food is eaten at the kitchen, and having the time and the patience that when a child takes something from the kitchen table, walks over to an area that's supposed to be not have food there, you go back and you re-educate that, no, this is what has to stay here, and that you're consistent. That's the whole thing, is being a consistent parent.
But it starts when your kids are just a few months old.
It does. And how you're talking about food, there is no bad food. There is no bad figure. You know, fitness comes in many different mm-hmm. sizes. And when parents talk to each other, not putting themselves down in front of their child is very important too. The psychological aspect of that can lead children to these disorders.
And even worse than that is putting your spouse down.
Absolutely. Yes.
Just, it's so devastating for so many reasons.
Absolutely.
Not the least of which is obesity.
Yeah.
You know, the DSM-5, the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Health Diseases, 5th edition, has some criteria for the diagnosis of anorexia.
Yes.
And if you have a minute, can I read them to you?
Yes, please. Mm-hmm.
First, they have to have restriction of energy intake. It means eat less calories than what they had before. And it has to lead to low body weight. But you have to consider their age and their sex and their development, as well as their physical health. Second thing is they have to have intense fear of gaining weight. These are the kids you see who weigh themselves 3 times a day.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And they pinch themselves and they find a little fold of fat and they say, I'm too skinny, I'm too fat.
Mm-hmm.
And they're nuts about their weight.
Right.
And thirdly, they have to be in a disturbance as far as how they look at themselves.
Right.
These kids think, I'm fat, and yet you look at, there's a pencil. You know?
Right. They look in a mirror and they see something different.
That's right. Their vision isn't working well.
Mm-hmm.
So do nutritionists use these criteria?
Yes, we do. We look at those same things. When a parent usually comes to us, they've already seen the pediatrician.
Mm-hmm.
And usually there's a team of people that do work together. Mm-hmm. Obviously a psychiatrist or psychologist.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as a diet plan goes, or what I look at is what is the kid okay eating today, and then we go from there and building the repertoire of food.
Mm-hmm. So you see a psychiatrist, so you mean that these eating disorders are mental
also, yes,
problems?
A lot of times.
Mm-hmm. How about obesity? Is that a disease?
You know, again, I'm questionable about it. There are some genetic factors, but it's the environment that plays a big role. But I do believe there are certain people that do have more receptors for fat sites to accumulate fat quicker.
Mm-hmm.
But there are 3 major times in your life where you do gain body fat. That's during adolescence. It's during pregnancy, usually for women, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And also, once you become obese, you're more acceptable to gain new fat cells.
Because the fat cells, I read something that You have a limited number of fat cells.
Yes.
And they get full of fat or they don't have any fat in them. But once you get them all full of fat, boy, they just suck it right up.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's a very interesting thing. And you missed one very important part when people gain weight. When men get married, they gain weight.
They do.
It's unbelievable.
They're happy.
They're happy. That's right.
That's
content.
Right.
Okay. When I was in training, very long time ago, middle part of last century, we rarely saw anorexia. Matter of fact, I think I saw 1 anorexic patient for my 4 years of training and in my first 10 years of practice. Did I just miss everything or something happened?
No, it's the social media aspect of it, the commercials, things like that, that show a pretty figure. It's very slim, the models, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So children and even adults look at that and say, hey, this is how I'm supposed to be. So adult starts dieting. The child sees that. They see one roll. The mom's pointing to herself. I got to get rid of this. And then the child's looking at herself. So a lot of it comes from social media, but we can't get away from social media. So it's educating them very young that they're beautiful. Christ made them who they are. And we're supposed to feed ourselves for fuel and not for a look.
That's right. That's good. You know, I didn't see a kid, a boy, with anorexia for a long time.
Half of the people diagnosed now are men.
Isn't that something?
Or boys. Mm-hmm.
Why is that?
An increase, too, in what a man should look like. You know, models, social media again. Also, when they're in athletics and they're gaining a lot of weight, after athletics are over, the weight doesn't come off as quickly, and they tend to starve themselves to get that weight off, which leads to some of these disorders.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that this toxic testosterone has anything to do with it?
Well, I'll tell you what. That's a whole nother subject, and we could talk about the protein soy, and depending upon where it comes from, and how our food is actually at times increasing estrogen in our men. mm-hmm. in our young boys.
Mm-hmm. So maybe some of it has to do with diet.
It could be definitely. It could be definitely like that.
I used the word toxic testosterone, but I really, really opposed to that term. I think it's so toxic to say testosterone is toxic.
It's not at all.
One of my pet peeves is to hear the word, his hormones are running, or rushing hormones. Mm-hmm. You have rushing hormones? Nobody. Hormones don't rush.
No, they don't.
They sneak out in a little bundle about 4 o'clock every morning, and then people get it slows down during the daytime, and the next morning you get another rush.
Right.
But they go out and stay out all night because of rushing hormones. I mean, decreasing hormones, lady.
Yes.
But that's just an excuse. I don't like excuses for misbehavior.
And God developed those hormones for a good reason.
Yeah, he did. Sure, mm-hmm. he did. That's why I have 4 kids. You too.
Me too.
Now, we didn't talk much about bulimia.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit more about that.
Well, that's interesting. It's actually when somebody binges, so they have not a sense of when they're full, or they do like that sense of fullness, mm-hmm. and they like just continue to eat no matter what their body feels like, and then afterwards they purge because they're afraid to gain weight.
Mm-hmm.
Most bulimics are actually average weight. You wouldn't even think they were unhealthy. Mm-hmm. But you'll notice then signs of things around the mouth where the acid from the stomach mm-hmm. will cause sores.
Mm-hmm.
That's another sign for parents to look at. You see bulimia in some of the sports like gymnastics, mm-hmm. figure skating, where the body image is very important. So if you have children in those activities, just look for those things mm-hmm. because as they go through adolescence, they're going to change. They're going to mm-hmm. gain some weight and curves and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's another disorder that we're seeing more in men, too.
Another is dancing.
Yes.
Especially women dancers are so thin, and if they gain a half ounce, then they lose their dancing figure, so they burn. They purge.
Mm-hmm. And I was obviously a gymnast. Mm-hmm. I was your Wisconsin State champion.
Oh, good for you.
Yes,
yeah.
All events and all around at one
great.
Time. I won't
That's
tell
wonderful.
You the year.
Well,
it was
last century, though, wasn't it?
And then Utah State, I was a gymnast for them, competed in NCAA.
I wonder why you went to Utah
yes,
State.
Yeah, great. Got a scholarship out there mm-hmm. and great nutrition out there.
Mm-hmm.
Have to thank the Mormons for that because mm-hmm. they're very holistic.
Yep. I just love the Mormons. They
mm-hmm.
have such a good families. And I have a family of grandkids who lives in Brentwood, and they went to Ravenwood High School. And one of the boys from Y said, all my friends are either Mormons or blacks.
Wow.
I said, why is that? Well, he said, the blacks have to be good to live in Williamson County, and the Mormons are just by nature good. They're good kids. I don't have to worry about getting in trouble with any of those groups. So I think that's good.
Well, what's interesting, we did have a gymnast that was on our team that was bulimic.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times on road trips, we'd have to stop because she would binge and have to purge. And a lot of it, now that I look back, was a lot of her self-esteem.
Yep.
She didn't really have a good self-esteem.
Yep. Yep.
And again, that derives from parenting.
Parenting, yeah. Well, we've talked about self-esteem at other shows, I think, earlier in the sessions. But I think the self-esteem doesn't come from telling your kids how good they are.
No.
It comes from the kids setting a goal, accomplishing that goal, and then feeling good about themselves.
And if they fail...
Oh, it's okay, too.
They're still alive.
Yeah, they're still alive.
I remember my dad saved all my bloopers in gymnastics. He mm-hmm. showed me everything I mm-hmm. fell on.
Mm-hmm.
I said, where's the good tape? He goes, your kids don't need to see that one. They need to see how many times you got back up.
How many times you got back up. That's exactly right. I see you have a lot of notes over there, Carolou. Something else you want to talk about?
I guess we covered a lot of the things that I did want to talk about. I just want to keep parents... informed that during adolescence, this is when most of these disorders will appear, and that be careful of how you're looking at yourself
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
praise how you look,
mm-hmm.
praise how your spouse looks, praise your children how they are,
mm-hmm.
And provide healthy meals 3 times a day. They don't need food in their bedroom. They don't need food in front of the TV. You can have a special Friday night popcorn night, you know, with a movie, that's fine, but it's associated with the movie, mm-hmm. not just eating and, you know, zoning
mm-hmm.
out.
Mm-hmm. And sports drinks?
Sports drinks I would stay away from also.
Mm-hmm.
I would keep it to water. If it's a sport over than an hour of activity, they are coming out with better sport drinks, but if you took a quarter of orange juice, filled a quarter cup of orange juice, 3/4 cup of water, they'll be fine for that next hour. You don't have to buy the fancy drinks.
You know, games like football in the summer practice when it's so hot and you're all dressed up in usually black uniforms.
Yes.
They can lose a lot of weight. And when I was a team physician in Wisconsin, we had all the boys on the football team and on the wrestling squad weigh before and after every practice.
Yes.
And if they hadn't gained that weight back by the next practice, they didn't play.
Right. They have to prehydrate.
Prehydrate. Mm-hmm. And I had them each night when they went to bed to put a milk jar, a gallon milk jar, in the refrigerator. The freezer, let it freeze.
Okay.
Then take it to this practice with them, and then during practice, drink that gallon.
Right. Every 15
every
minutes.
Every 15 minutes.
Yes.
Drink that up. And
very
they'll be surprised. They say, well, I'm trying to lose weight. I said, well, you'll lose weight. You'll lose weight. Mm-hmm. And you can just see a gradual fall.
For the wrestlers, yes. Very good. You are a great pediatrician.
Okay. Well, we're just getting close to the end, Carrie Lou, and I want to thank you once again for coming here. It was a fun time both times. I really appreciate it. And I think I know our listeners also appreciate hearing what you have to say. It's so important for them. So a great big thank you to you and to our listeners. You are listening to Parenting Matters on WBOU 100.5 FM and streaming throughout the world at WBOU.org. Now, before I close, one more story. It's a quick one. I recently saw an 18-year-old recruit who had, over the last year, lost 100 pounds. He knew he would have to get his weight down to serve. He stopped drinking soda, very important thing. He stopped eating fast foods, and he started to run, he told me. But then he said, well, no, I didn't start to run. I couldn't run. I could hardly get out of bed without help. And he said, but as the weight came off, I started to walk and then run, and I did 3 miles yesterday before I came in, and his weight was down from 330 pounds to 215. He said, I feel like I'm walking on the moon.
Oh, amen.
No gravity.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I said, why did you get so overweight? He said, well, because my parents, well, it's my own fault. He said, I ate too much. But he said, my coach and my parents wanted me to gain a lot of weight so I could be a good offensive lineman. I said, I think that's child abuse.
Yes.
He said, I do too. But he said, I didn't go off a football senior year because I was so mad at the coach. I thought, I can't play for a coach who has so little respect for his players he'd let him get overweight like that.
That's true.
And if you looked at the Cleveland line 2 weeks ago, mm-hmm. they're all thin. They're not thin, they're just nice. I mean, mm-hmm. there's no 500 pounders out there waddling around. Remember the refrigerator he played for the Bears?
Oh, my goodness. Yes, it's changed a lot, which is good.
Anyhow, I told him I thought that all coaches knew that a good offensive lineman is not made with fat. It's made with quickness, courage, muscles, and determination, and a good coach. I guess I was wrong. They don't know that. Now, for your homework, sit down with your family, go to www.parenting-matters, and listen to this post together. Determine if you and they are eating too much or just the wrong foods. Adjust your dietary habits accordingly. Then return to my website and tell us about your experience. And if you want to talk to Carrie Lou Robertson, call her at
615-478-8703.
That's right, 615-478-8703. Thank you very much. And if you have a topic you'd like to hear us discuss, let us know. We'll find an expert to talk about it. Thank you once again, and may God continue to bless you and your family.
Thank you for listening to another edition of Parenting Matters with Dr. Parr Donahue. Parenting Matters is produced and recorded inside the studios at the Catholic Pastoral Center. Thanks again for listening to WBOU 100.5 FM and streaming at WBOU.org.